the volume.
Colin Cowherd podcast presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. No better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's a lot of reasons. It's America's number one sportsbook. Incredibly easy to use. Super safe, totally secure, super fast payouts in as quick as 2 hours. You're not going to get that anywhere. Also, same game parlay bets, live betting. It's the best. Hey, if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I did it in 15 seconds. Get started now. Sign up. Please use the promo code Colin so they know we sent you. Please use the promo code Colin, C-O-L-I-N. FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up. Hi, everybody. Welcome in. It's our Friday morning podcast, Sharper Square with Chad Millman in 10 minutes. First, though, fake questions, real answers. I have things I want to talk about and don't want to wait for you to ask me. Dear Colin, boy, what an amazing week of college football, isn't it? Doesn't this prove that college football is better than the NFL? Folks, no. There are two weekends a year when social media erupts and makes the claim that college football is better than the NFL. Labor Day weekend, when college football has four or five big games and the NFL season hasn't started. And Thanksgiving / rivalry weekend, when you always have upsets in your Auburn, Alabama's, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Michigan, Ohio State. It's a rivalry weekend. There's a reason we like the Stanley Cup playoffs over college hockey. There's a reason we like, by a 6-1 margin, the NFL over college football and Major League Baseball over the College World Series, because it's better. The coaching's better. The quarterbacking's better. The players are better. America likes better, and we're willing to pay for better. People will go in debt to pay for better. College football's fun, and 2 weeks of the year, everybody goes nuts. Look at every piece of data and metric. NFL is 6 times more popular for a reason. Dear Colin, what word makes you go crazy? It's always the same word, integrity. The biggest phonies on the internet are the people, the college football fans and basketball fans that are ripping kids. And then you look at their avatar and you read who they are and it always says, Christian, husband, father. Really, that's not very Christian, attacking a 21-year-old place kicker for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Folks, you got to get over integrity. There's a reason Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley and all these coaches bail, because they're offered generational money. Brian Kelly turned around a dying brand. The last 12 years, Notre Dame has been its best 12 years, arguably ever. Take away the era, Parsegian era. You don't think he has a right eventually to cut the cord? And would you stop with what about the kids, the transfer portal, education, great facilities, great travel, massive marketing. They get paid NIL. The kids are fine. Stop talking about integrity. That's for people who have never been offered great jobs. They're moralists on integrity. If somebody offers you $100 million, you're out the door before I can sign the effing check, and you know it. Lincoln Riley looked at USC, generational money. I'm out. The kids will be fine. They can transfer and follow them if they want, or they can stay at a great program in Oklahoma. Stop trying to preach integrity. Oklahoma leads the country in fracking. Is that environmental integrity? When I think of Oklahoma football, I think of Barry Switzer. Yeah, integrity comes to mind. Your integrity's not mine. My morals aren't yours. Dear Colin, did you hear about the Major League Baseball lockout? Barely. Listen, the difference between no baseball and them playing it, the activity is all about the same, right? If you took away all these sports and you started over with sports and you needed investors to create a sport, you do realize baseball couldn't get investors. Football could go to investors and go, we got this idea for a sport. There's violence. It's great on television and people gamble on it. And there's a lot of action. Basketball. Listen, there's this sport. The season's kind of long, but it's got a bunch of stars. You could sell that. Baseball. Young people don't really love it. It's slow. There's way too many games. And there's not a ton of activity. You couldn't find investors for it. It's nothing against baseball. But here's all you need to know about baseball. I see my audience. I see how big it is. I barely talk about it. Watch First Take. Watch Undisputed. Listen to my show. Watch Dan Patrick. Here's something we don't talk about. Regular season baseball. I don't want to see a strike. I like postseason baseball. But the reality is, this is a sport that will be severely hurt by a lockout if it moves into the regular season. Because lots and lots of young people have already given up on baseball. It's too slow. Not enough action. Dear Colin, what do you make of ESPN swapping out the Lakers-Clippers game and replacing it with the Warriors and Suns? Well, I actually like the move, and I think it's just and real. We all admit in our business, all of us have to admit this, that big brands are good for our business. The Packers, the Cowboys, they're really good for my business. Notre Dame being vibrant is really good for my business. Duke, Carolina being in a Final Four, Elite Eight, it's very good for my business. Yankees, Cubs, postseason. I've never, ever, ever tried to be inauthentic about that. I've tried to always be totally honest with you. But in my business, we also have to be straight with the audience and not try to sell something for more than it's worth. The Lakers are bad. They're not nearly as good as the Suns, the Bucks, Brooklyn, the Warriors. I'm not going to pretend, even though the Lakers being great would be really, really great for my business, I'm not going to pretend they're interesting. And the Lakers, I believe, is one of these gigantic brands that's in trouble. Now, the Yankees play in a sport without a salary cap, so they can always buy themselves out of trouble. And I do think USC football, a brand that's been dying, will bounce back with Lincoln Riley. I think generally the big brands go down, they come back up. Lakers have a problem. They're tied to LeBron, and they're tied to Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis is now a declining player who refuses to play his natural position, the five. He's shooting 19% from three. He wants to be a four. That's why Frank Vogel will not last with his team. Vogel wants a big. AD doesn't want to be a big. And the players in the NBA have more power than a coach. But the other issue is LeBron James generationally. Young players don't want to play with him. Why would a young player want to give their emerging brand to LeBron? That's why the Lakers have Westbrook and Melo and Dwight Howard. Because older players still hold LeBron in a different category, the legend category. But Michael Jordan got old. Young players didn't want to play with him. Go ask all those Wizards. Young players don't want to play with LeBron James. They want to create their own brand. All right, let's bring in Chad Millman. Time for Sharper Square. Chief Content Officer, Action Network. I thought I was on the right side most of last week, especially on the Denver game was my favorite bet and it won, but I had a bad record. I'm okay with it. I had a great college football season. That made me happy. So let's start with this. I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to start.
Hold on. You had a bad record, but we went over the games last week. And for the third week in a row, I had a really good record. So what's not translating? And we both, and we talked about the Broncos.
No, I won that game, but I also took the Colts. I took a lot of dogs. I took the Colts. So I just took the wrong games, but I took a bunch of, and I took the favorite. My favorite was the Cowboys. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go backwards. I want to start with a strong play. I'm going to take Patriots plus the points at Buffalo. 80 to 90% chance of snow. Who does that hurt? Buffalo. Windy, snowy, Stephon Diggs, not a factor. Also, the Bills don't run the football effectively. Who does? New England. And during the six-game winning streak, I know everybody wants to say it's about defense. They're averaging 35 points. Right now, New England's the better team because they have an identity that plays really well in windy, cold weather. I love New England in this spot, sharper square.
Totally sharp. The wise guys have been playing the Patriots. It's been really interesting when the the wise guys will play the Patriots. If the number moves down a little bit to 2.5, they immediately buy back on the Bills. So the bookmakers know that 3 is sort of the number where they're finding the most balance. Everything you're saying is right. I'm going to go opposite. I love the Bills in this spot. Like, strong feelings about the Bills. My favorites co-host, Simon Hunter, professional bettor Simon Hunter, is going against everybody he talks to in the industry. He loves the Bills. I have lost many times this year fading Mac Jones, peak Mac Jones. I just think that this is a time where it's going to be a real challenge, and you're getting the Bills in a primetime game, and the line is probably a little bit closer than what it should be power rated at because of all the Mac Jones hype. I think there's an overadjustment that's been had. So give me the Bills.
All right. So I'm going to take another dog, Chargers +3.5 at the Bengals. So the Bengals have maybe their biggest in-division win in a decade. They destroy and humiliate the Steelers. Pittsburgh's a bad team right now. And the Bengals are a good team, but there's still a little bit of this roster is still in the rebuilding mode. And I think now we're going a little high on them. I've made more money on the Chargers than any team in the league this year betting against them. But I'm going to take the 3.5. I think it's a shootout. I think you have a very desperate Charger team on the brink of being knocked out of the top 7 in the AFC. I do worry that Joe Mixon, and I think the Chargers know this, they can control the clock. But I feel like sometimes there's the regression to the mean. Cincinnati's not nearly as good as they looked last week. Now people will come pouring in. I'll take the Chargers and the points, sharp or square.
Totally sharp. So sharp, this line has moved from 3.5 down to 3. And it's everything you said. You hit all the buzzwords, right? There's a bounce back scenario for the Chargers. There's a desperation scenario for the Chargers. There's a regression to the mean on both sides for the Chargers and the Bengals. And we talked about the Broncos, right? Last week, we loved the Broncos. And we have both been fading the Chargers for weeks because we faded them against the Steelers the week before when they were 6-point favorites. Like the Chargers early in the year were winning and were everyone's darling because they were converting so well on third and fourth downs. They've stopped doing that. Their defense has been exposed. Justin Herbert's accuracy problems have been exposed. And teams are learning how to play them defensively a little bit better. But now the pendulum has swung. It's a little bit what I talked about with the Patriots. The pendulum has swung so much against the Chargers. And you're always going to find value on a team that has an ugly loss against a team everyone thought was not as good, against a team in the Bengals that just come off a massive win against the Steelers. So 100% you're buying the right side here.
All right. Now let me go to a favorite, Dolphins -5 against the Giants. So I talked to Lewis Riddick this week. He had a good point. He said, we've fallen in love with the aesthetics of quarterback play. He said, Mac Jones is boring. And Tua is boring, and they complete 75% of their throws with a really good defensive coach and great corners. Is if you think the Giants are going to go in with a backup quarterback and move the ball at all against the Dolphins in Miami, you're nuts. And that Tua is doing exactly what Mac Jones is. Basically, Miami is a poor man's version of New England. He completes 80% of his throws. They don't run it like New England, but great defense. They kind of stay within the 20s and strike when the opportunities arise. By the way, with Waddle now playing, they have a big time perimeter threat. I'm going to take the Dolphins here. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to go right up against it. And I wouldn't want to play them right now because I believe Brian Flores last year, great coach. Brian Flores now good coach. Once they just said, listen, Tua is limited, but he's our limited. It's like New Yorkers say, yeah, we know New York's a pain in the ass, but it's our city. Okay, we'll deal with the traffic. We'll deal with the taxes. I think Miami's a tough out, and I'm going to take them -5.
Well, you'd be square. Here's a good example to show you how square this is. This game was at about Giants +3.5 early in the week, And the news came out about Daniel Jones and he's not going to be playing and it's going to be Mike Glennon. The number immediately was reposted Giants plus 5.5, right? So bookmakers adjusted it about 2 points, which tells you how little they think of Daniel Jones, that it only moved 2 points from Daniel Jones to Mike Glennon. As soon as his number got reposted, the wise guys came in and bought it back down. It went from Giants plus 5.5, Giants plus 5, Giants plus 4.5. In some places, it's now Giants 4. It's basically going back down to the number it was at. And the reason why, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, you're getting Miami. For all the things that you just said about Miami, you could argue the same things about the Bengals, and yet you don't like the Bengals against the Chargers. Miami is the same thing. They are surging right now. You are buying the Dolphins at the top of their market because Tua, every week you look at his numbers and like, oh my God, Tua was 27 of 31 for 280 yards and no picks. And this team won again because their defense is so good. So you have to ask yourself, like, is this team a playoff caliber team, especially when looking at the Giants, right? Giants beat New Orleans as a dog. They beat Carolina as a dog. They beat Vegas as a dog. Their losses are to Dallas, the Rams, Kansas City, Tampa Bay. They lost to the Falcons by 3, a cover. Washington football team by 1, a cover. So are the Dolphins in the bucket with Dallas, the Rams, Kansas City, Tampa Bay? I don't think so. Are they more likely to be in the bucket with the other teams? Yes. Yeah. So history will tell you that the Giants in this scenario will find a way to cover this game, if not win it outright.
NFL playoff race heating up. How about you join the FanDuel Sportsbook right now? All customers get a $10 parlay bet bonus. Place $20 in the same game parlay bets and get a $10 bonus, regardless if your bet wins or loses. I'd take the Chargers plus 3.5 against the Bengals and the over. I think between Burrow and between Justin Herbert, it's going to be a classic shootout. Chargers plus 3.5 and the over. There's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up today, promo code Colin, to get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Promo code Colin. The number one sportsbook app, payouts in 2 hours, safe, secure. Check it out. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona.
Here's a big favorite that I think is interesting. I want your opinion. Kansas City minus 9 against the Broncos. I do not believe that's a Mahomes number. I think it's a Chris Jones number. I think what you're saying here is Denver's not going to move the ball at all against Kansas City's improved defense. I'm almost willing to swallow Kansas City minus 9 here. I don't think their offense is going to get right this year. Outside of their center, the rookie from Oklahoma, Creed Humphrey, I don't think the offensive line's great. I think he's playing great. He and Rashawn Slater have been absolute A-plus rookie alpha offensive linemen. But I think what this number is telling you is Denver's not going to move the football because Denver generally, with a pass rush, doesn't move the football. Sharper square if I took Kansas City?
Square. The numbers move. The market shows you that it's square. The line used to be 10.5. It moved down to 10. Now it's at 9. That tells you that the wise guys are coming in on the Broncos here. 55% of the money coming in on the Broncos. This is about defense. This is about Kansas City still struggling. We're going to talk about Andy Reid off a bye. Andy Reid off a bye against the spread is not Andy Reid off a bye winning outright, okay? And so you're talking about why is Andy Reid off a bye better than Teddy Bridgewater, who I call Teddy Covers, who is 26-9 against the spread as a dog. And their defense, the Broncos defense, their red zone defense is outstanding. led the league in red zone touchdown percentage in 2019, led it again in 2020. It's the first time a defense has done that since this stat, meaning back-to-back, led the league in that stat since the stat started being tracked. It's not a fluke how well they play in the red zone. And the Chiefs, because they have been the Chiefs, are terrible as favorites. Terrible as favorites of more than a field goal, and really, really, really terrible, like they don't cover at all of more than a touchdown the past season and a half. So in this scenario, you've got a home divisional, you've got a home game, a home team in the division. They're laying more than three. That covers at just a 43% clip since 2003. So for all those reasons, I'll be on the Broncos, as will the Sharps.
Having an identity is really important. I feel the Niners have found their identity once Elijah Mitchell got healthy. Now, they lack Debo Samuel. So what concerns me about San Francisco is this is a low-scoring game. They win one way, and that's run the football. They're minus three at Seattle that has no identity. My gut would say take San Francisco, sharp or square.
This is dictated by the number, right? So the number had been at 3.5. If you can still get it at 3.5, you take the Seahawks. If it's at 3, it's generally a pass, because what you're getting here is, as you said, there's no Debo. Also, Fred Warner's out. Greenlaw is out. The Niners finally started getting healthy, and then they have another cluster of injuries. You're just getting a massive buy low spot on the Seahawks because of how bad they've looked. Russell Wilson, something is off, right? Either he rushed back, there's a lack of comfort with the offense, new offensive coordinator, whatever it is. But this is a market play. It's not a team play. It's you bet this with the 3.5 because it's the hook, because of the home team that is an underdog in that spot. And over the long term, which is what you want to be as a bettor, you don't want to play it game to game, you buy the hook in that spot.
Eagles minus 6.5 at the Jets. I would like the favorite Eagles, sharp or square.
Totally sharp, which is interesting, right? Because sharps are normally not going to like taking a road favorite that is creeping into the seven. But, you know, we do this on the favorites, right? Where we have the show on Tuesday, we'll go over all the games. And then on Thursday, I'll say to Simon, okay, all the wise guys listen to the show. Tell me right now, what are the sharp calls you're getting? Eagles was the number one sharp call, talking about how much everybody loves the Eagles this week. No one sees the Jets covering against an Eagles team that is much, much better than the Giants, who they played last week and really lost because they had three turnovers. This has been a team, an Eagles team, that the wise guys have been betting all season long. They see them as a playoff team. They still think they're one of the most undervalued teams by the books. And they're playing against Zach Wilson, who, when he's grading out, is really one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
All right. I ask you for one or two picks every week that I haven't discussed that you think are interesting. Throw them at me.
The Steelers plus 3.5. Actually, it's up to 4.5 at the Ravens. Nobody wants to bet the Steelers. It is ugly. Nobody wants to bet a team that just lost to the Bengals by 31 points in a game that really everyone thought this was a get right spot for Pittsburgh. This is when you bet the Steelers. Betting is about doing bad things, right? Betting is about holding your nose. And I know you hate that because you don't want to bet on things that you want to watch, but Steelers plus 4.5. Think about this game. Think about this game. Since John Harbaugh joined the Ravens as their coach in 2008, 13-13. In the regular season against the Steelers. The average margin is 1. 20 of the 26 games have been decided by one possession. 17 of 26 decided by 4 or less. 4 have gone to overtime. Favorites, here's the key. Favorites of 3 or more since 2008, 26 games, are 1-13-2 against the spread. So one time since 2008, a team that was a favorite of more than 3 has covered the spread in this game. It just, as bad as the Steelers look, as decent as the Ravens look, and they haven't looked great with Lamar Jackson, you know, consistently coming back from illness, they look terrible against the Browns. In this series, that number, you play the dog.
Anything else? I would not touch the Rams, although I think the Rams could get healthy against the Jags. Jags are a weird team. About every third week, they play really well, but they're just slow.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so that, but that's also why you always have to bet them. You know, we've talked about, honest to God, Colin, we've been talking about games for 10 years. Every week, I will say, take the Jags because that's what the professionals are doing. They're going to take the Jags again this week for exactly what you just said. They took the Jags last week at +2. They'll take the Jags this week as big dogs against the Rams. They're just going to do it every week. The Falcons are interesting. An 11-point underdog at home against the Bucs. That's going to be one people are talking about. The other one that is really, really gross. The Detroit Lions against the Vikings at +7. And how you know this game is getting money from the professionals is that it is not moved off of 7. The bookmakers have basically said, we're drawing a line in the sand. This line is 7. And they're going to make professional bettors take this number and not even worry about it. This is a massive, massive game for professional bettors. It'll be really interesting.
Right. I'm done. It's a weird week for numbers. I really like the Patriots. I really like the Chargers. I think you talked me into the Steelers. I think it's a weird week for numbers. I had my best college football with FanDuel, my best college football. I went 3-0. My last 5 weeks, I was 3-0, 3-0, 2-1, 3-0, 3-0. I was on fire. I was like Colin Wilson, your guy. I was on fire.
Yeah. How great. This past weekend for college football was so good. And I watched, I'm a Midwest guy, right? So I'm always going to, when Michigan and Ohio State are both great and there's a marquee matchup with those two, it's just always going to mean more to me than Georgia and Alabama or LSU, Alabama. That game from Ann Arbor on Saturday, kudos to the Fox production team. From the moment that game started with the images from inside the tunnel, with the snow falling before the teams came out, the production of the game, the capturing the fight in the locker room or in the tunnel in between halftime, and then the post-game celebration, I was riveted the entire time. It was amazing. It was so much fun to be a college football fan that day.
Yeah, and it was good for the sport for Michigan to win. I mean, let's 49 states were rooting for Michigan. Is no Bama fan wants to hear this, but Bama's boring. I mean, outside of the South, in Ohio State, you know, they're obnoxious. But the truth is, the sport's better when that conference is a 2 or 3 team conference, not a 1 team conference. So,
yeah,
you know, my favorite part. I'm agnostic, so when anybody talks morals, I always roll my eyes. All these fan bases. Notre Dame, they weren't too bad. Oklahoma, you stole our coach. There's no integrity. It's such, you know, and again, I'm a coastal elitist and agnostic. So I think all morality is flexible. All integrity is flexible. I don't think fracking is environmentally integrous. So, you know, stop. It's me. But one of my favorite things about college football is once you put that plaque on the wall, fans are crazy. Like NFL fans will bet against their team. Like my team sucks. You cannot get an Ohio State fan to ever bet against their team. The plaque's on the wall. They go to the school. Deep down, all of us in the media wanted to see Michigan. I'm not going to speak for everybody, but we wanted to see the Big Ten become a 2-team conference or a 3-team conference. We all want Mel Tucker and James Franklin to stay. We want Jim Harbaugh to work. It's not anti-Ohio State. It's pro depth of conference, right?
Yes. People don't get that the media doesn't have a bias for teams. The media has a bias for stories. What can I talk about? Ohio State being dominant every single year and everyone else sort of battling for second place is not interesting. Give us some tension. Give us a narrative that we can talk about for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days out of the month, 30 days out of the month, whatever it is, that's what people root for. And by the way, if you're Coastal Elite, it's because those are the teams that end up having the most drama and bringing in the most audience. I know when it comes to the spring and football's over, there's going to be three things that Colin Cowherd will talk about. NFL free agency, NFL draft, LeBron James. Those will be the most interesting things for every single fan of sports that will get the widest possible.
Fans really think we care about their team winning. No, just give me stories. I'm rooting for tire fires on the freeway. I just want smoke. I always say in the media, we report on plane crashes, not on plane landings. Give us mayhem. As long as nobody gets hurt, give us mayhem.
Like this weekend, if Alabama had lost to Auburn, how amazing would that have been for the conversation about the playoff? Like, that's why we're rooting against Alabama. It's not because I don't like Nick Saban. It's because I want something interesting to happen.
By the way, have you seen Oklahoma State play?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said it 3 weeks ago. Most underrated team in the country. Watch them give Georgia a little trouble. They'll spread them out. They have a real defense, too, by Big 12 standards.
Yeah, that defense is good.
Watch Oklahoma State if they get in. Watch them give Georgia trouble. Those Georgia guys, they know Oklahoma State's a three-star program. They don't even go and get the big stars. They get JC guys, three-star guys. You know, Georgia's been so glommed onto a chance to play like a Michigan. Watch out. That and the line will probably be, you know, 13, 12. Oklahoma State could be one of the bets of the year. I want, by the way, I'm not going to talk about the amount I won. I bet a lot on Michigan. I am not joking.
They were, listen, you know, you mentioned Colin Wilson, right? Like for college football, that's all anybody was talking about last week. That Michigan number, and by the way, the Michigan number, it was shrinking. It started off big and like just kept getting smaller and smaller because all the money was coming in on Michigan. People were like, what is going on here? And that number just kept getting, even up to Saturday morning, like 7.5. All of our experts were like, Michigan, Michigan, Michigan. It was, it was an onslaught.
Chad Millman, good seeing you, buddy. Thanks again.
Good to see you too, brother.
All right, everybody, go to YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. It's called The Volume Sports. Go to YouTube, sign up, subscribe, push the button lower right. Talk soon.